Psalm 111, stand with us. It's amazing how the Lord works and puts things together. And I don't know how much I'll give you the back story to some things I'm going to show you this evening. But if the Lord will help us, just magnify the Lord Jesus for just a moment and see how the Lord will work this evening in a very, very unique way. I hope I can communicate this how it's in my heart and in my mind. And some of this I was dealing with a individual. Our ministry is here to you. We look around, it's mostly, I guess, just about all home folk, church members. But our ministry, as we went to live stream and different things, we get inquiries at different times from people outside of this place who's never been in here. And it's kind of funny, some of their perspective about our ministry and how they, questions they have anyway, about what we believe or even the style of preaching and singing and worship that we have here. And all of that's fine. That comes with having a presence out there that outsiders can peek in and look in. And that's one of the reasons we do it. We want to get the gospel all the ways that we can. But this week particularly, my wife, she's kind of seen all the conversation back and forth, and has been very, very interesting to say the least. I want to say this without apology. We are a Bible-believing Christian church. We're the body of Christ made up of Christians who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. I ain't looking to go back into some other dispensation of time. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the one I'm in now. And I'm thankful that Jesus, the Son of God, has been manifested as God in the flesh. He dwelt among us 2,000 years ago. He died, He was buried, and thank God the third day, according to Scripture, He got up again. Amen. You say, well, where is He tonight then? Well, the Word of God said that He has ascended into heaven and sits, amen, at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. God the Father and God the Son, and thank God, God the Holy Ghost is doing His work even now in this evening. And so I want to deal with some things as I was in conversation this week, and this individual had no idea of some things I was studying, and I ain't going to argue with nobody, try to be intellectual and prove how smart I am or how dumb they are. But I do want to show you something tonight, and you'll be blessed. And if anybody's watching, amen, some will get mad and some will just have to get over it, and some of them will be happy too, amen. Psalm 111, notice what the Bible said, your King James Bible. English Bible. Amen. Amen. I couldn't understand, read Hebrew and all of that. I may could get some of it out, know some of it, got a lot of things I can do to find, amen, what some of that means. But I'm a Gentile redneck that, amen, understands English. And in the perfect, inspired, Bible for the English-speaking people, your King James Bible said, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. Any other gathering we choose to have, David said, and we ought to say, I plan on going to the house of God to praise His blessed holy name. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. It's what Miss Kate was testifying about a moment ago. In recent days, God has been letting her give those memorials, remember things that God has done, and communicate that to others. And so in that, there's praise being given to God and encouragement being given to others. And that's why the Lord does what He does in our life, so we can remember it and bless Him and praise Him for it. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. I love verse number 9. He sent redemption unto His people. Amen. In the Old Testament, David said He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. Is His name. That's been a dispute with me and my ministry this week. And I don't know if there was an argument or a debate, or he was trying to tell me I was wrong. But been some discussions go on this week about His name. I'm glad I know who His name is. Amen. In the beginning, God, Elohim. In the Old Testament, you'll find Elohim, Jah, Jehovah. You'll find several addendums to His name, Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Jireh, and on, and different things about the Lord and His name. But let's get this right. In Matthew chapter number 1, God sent the angel of the Lord down to announce at the conception of that that had been conceived, the Holy Ghost, in the virgin womb of Mary, and said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." The Roman government did not give Him His name. Amen. It wasn't the Roman government that gave Him His name. It wasn't the Greeks that gave Him His name. It was God, the God of glory, named Himself and His own Son, Jesus. So how do you know that? Because the next verse said, let's put another name on Him, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus is God, and God is Jesus. Say amen right there. If you don't believe that, I feel like preaching. If you don't believe that, you the crowd at John the Beloved warned of in 1 John chapter number 4 and said, any man that denies that Jesus has come in the flesh and is the Son of God, he is Antichrist. He doesn't know God. He may be close to knowing God, but he doesn't know God. Amen. And so His name, redemption, is attached to His holy and His reverend name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Oh, and I'll never get to this tonight. His praise endureth forever. You can be seated tonight. This psalm begins with what a series of psalms is going to either began or end with. You'll find it there. You can see it real quickly, at least in my Bible, the way it's laid out. You see Psalm 111, 112, and 113. And you can go on from there and how some of these other psalms that are to come either began or end with the declaration and the commandment and the exhortation, praise ye the Lord. This is that word. It is a word that is known in a universal language, in a universal tongue, and it simply is that word, hallelujah. I will say this, when you come to how this psalm ends, his praise endureth forever. We do know in the book of Revelation, in that time that shall be forever. Amen. One of the things we're going to say in our praise and worship of the Lord is, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And so in that sense, we are going to praise the Lord forever. I don't have time to get into all of that. I won't even have time really to begin to dive into the scripture tonight as we're going to on next week. But let me lay some groundwork about this psalm. It is a psalm likely from the pen of David. There's some debate about that historically. Most believe, many believe David. Others would believe maybe it is a psalm that was written by some Levite after that of the Babylonian captivity when they were, that is, the Jews were returned to their homeland. I let you figure all that out. Amen. I ain't been able to figure it all out. I'm just going to say that it was David. And one of the reasons I would say that is that there is in here the congregation and the assembly of the upright. And we know David was a lover of the house of God. He loved the house of God. He loved to go to the house of God. And this psalm is dealing with praising God in the congregation, praising God among the assembly of the upright, blessing God and praising God while you're in God's house. And again, the opening line is an exhortation, praise ye the Lord. This is known as one of the hallelujah psalms, and there's several of them. We have dealt with some, we'll deal with others in days to come. But what I'm interested in tonight, as we lay out an introduction here this evening, is the connection between Psalm 111 and 112. And by connection, I just simply mean, Brother Mike, and these are known when you began to study the Psalms as we have. There's a term that is used of these Psalms, and they are known as alphabetical Psalms. They're alphabetical Psalms, and that just simply means that they're structured with 22 lines, each line beginning with a letter in order from the Hebrew alphabet. Now, we find that Psalm 111, 112, there are others that use the acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet in order to portray the psalm and the writing of the psalm in its original tongue. One of the psalms we would know this by, it's not necessarily line by line, but rather section by section. In fact, I may show you something from there in a moment, but Psalm 119 is broke down in sections of verses. Most sections are 8 verses. And each section has a heading with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so there are 22 sections that make up Psalm 119. Y'all hang with me. I'll go somewhere. I want to try to show you something if the Lord will help us. And so if you could read this, see this, and I don't suppose anybody here tonight knows Hebrew enough where you'd be able to read. Most of y'all can't read English forward. You wouldn't know how to read Hebrew backwards. And that's how that it would go. But if you could see it and you could read it, then you would see clearly this psalm and Psalm 112 has an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet beginning with Aleph, going all the way down to the 22nd final letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav. And so you would see that, and every line begins with that and starts a new line or a new section. Now, when you began to study this out, here is, you'll not find much about this other than men will say, well, it was done this way so that the Hebrews could memorize this psalm. And no doubt that would aid greatly in them memorizing this psalm, committing it to memory, finding an array in their memory bank and in their heart and be able to recall it very easily just in mind going through their alphabet and line upon line giving that next line in quoting this psalm. But here's what I want you to understand this evening. Psalm 111, we must remember this is Scripture inspired by God. This is Scripture inspired, Brother Mike, by God. This is not mere and is far more than a poetical trick of David or of Hebrew poetry that would aid them in committing this to memory. No doubt that would be a benefit. But Psalm 111 and Psalm 112, they are given by divine inspiration. It was God the Holy Ghost moving upon the heart and the mind and the pen of King David to do this, not just a trick, but to present divine truth that, amen, the Jews and all that would ever study the Word of God could see clearly. Amen. Now this evening, I don't claim to be an expert. There are many, many others who would know Hebrew. I know many preachers that have doctorates in Hebrew and they can verify all this. Others that I've studied after can say the same thing, and I understand this evening some of it, and I have done study in some of it, but I'm interested tonight in beyond the benefit of memory. Why did God the Holy Ghost have David write these two psalms with the alphabet in mind? The Hebrew alphabet in mind. You don't see it in our English, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. The truth has not changed one whit. In fact, when we come to this, we find, praise ye the Lord. In verse number 1, Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. You'll find in Psalm 111, it is a praise of the Lord. It is a blessing of the Lord. It is a blessing of the God who is working and moving. It is a blessing of the God of the covenants. It is the blessing of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And the blessing of the God, the blessing of the God of Peter and James and John. But when you come to Psalm 112, the blessing and the praise ye the Lord is for a particular man. Amen. He said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. A generation of the upright shall be blessed. And he begins to talk about this man, this blessed man, Brother Tim, this man whose seed is mighty in the earth, this man that is full and is gracious and full of compassion and is righteous, this good man showing favor and lending and guiding his affairs with discretion. And this one man, he said, surely shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. And on it goes. But my simple thought is this. When you come to Psalm 112, it is a blessing and a praising of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the blessed man. He is the man with the seed that is mighty. He is the man full of grace. He is the man that is righteous. He is the man that is full of compassion. He is the only man who could ever live up to what Psalm 112 says. And we can aim for it, and David can shoot for it, and that can be the goal, and that can be the prize, and that can be what we're aiming for tonight. And I'm glad Psalm 112, we can praise the Lord for the blessed Son of God that came to where we were at, and thank God provided what we could never provide. Amen. Now, the alphabet, what does that have to do with the alphabet? And here's part of the conversation we'll call it I entered into this week about the fact, and in fact, I believe it's four times the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation said of himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That is the Greek, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega, bringing us into the realm of the alphabet. When Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, this represents Christ as the Logos, or we would say tonight, the Word of God. Amen. You see, it takes, I got to get this out right, it takes letters. It is letters are used to form words for communication. When Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, those are his name, but it goes beyond that. It is a representation that he is the living Word of God. He is the revelation and he is the communication of all that God has ever said, of all that God has ever communicated, of all that God has ever given. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Now, let me say this. He is the Word and the letters of every alphabet of every language. Yes, sir. That's how you and I as English speaking people can know him. So in the English we would say he is the A and the Z. Now, I'm not changing the Word of God. I'm just telling you, when he says I'm the Alpha and the Omega, he said I am the Word. By the way, he is the Word. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1 said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning was with God, and it talks about him, his creative power, and we wouldn't even maybe even understand what all of that meant were it not for John 1:14, which declared the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he is the Word, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Logos, the Word of God. Everything God has ever said is a revelation of Jesus Christ. In the English, he's the A to the Z. In the Spanish, I know very little Spanish. I won't even be sarcastic with some of the Spanish I know, but in Spanish, he's the Yah and he's the Sita. I don't care what language you find, Brother Jack. Jesus Christ, he is every letter. By the way, in the Hebrew, there's 22 letters. In Spanish, there's 27. In English, there's 26. I don't know how many letters are in every language and every linguistic across the globe tonight, but I know this, that Jesus makes up the first and the last of every alphabet. And if you're going to get saved, you'll get saved by the Word. You'll get saved by, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ being communicated to your life. Amen. He is in English. He is in Spanish. He is in Greek. He is in Russian. He is in Chinese. He is in Brazilian. He is wherever you want to go. Amen. He is the, amen, he is the first and the last and everything in between every alphabet. That's why when we get to heaven, there's going to be a crowd and a multitude there. The Bible said not only of every nation, not only of every tribe, but John said of every tongue.
Why? Because Jesus is communicated in every language. Amen. His name is our redemption. His name is known in every tongue tonight. Oh, it may have a little different bravado in one language than another. Make no mistake about it. And the angel of the Lord came and announced in his conception what his name would be. It was the name God gave him. That's what Paul said. And Philippians chapter number 2, that is a result of Christ being humble and coming down in the likeness of men, having wrapped himself in the form of a servant and coming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that my friend, wherefore, because of this, the Lord hath highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name, in case there's any mistake about it, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, and he's lowered to the glory of God the Father. Amen. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the A and the Z. In Spanish, he's the A and he's the Zeta. Question was posed to me this week, show me the name of Jesus anywhere in the Old Testament. I'm so glad this guy, he had no idea. He had no idea. He had no idea what I was studying. He had no idea what he himself was unlocking. Amen. Through some things I was studying. I want to show you this, and I need you to understand, we are English-speaking people. We have a perfect English Bible. Right? But our Bible, and you don't have to know Hebrew. I don't care what anybody says. I know some of it. I can deal on that level with some people about some of it. But you ain't got to know Hebrew to know God. Amen. You don't have to know Hebrew to know what God said. Amen. Do you even understand how elitist of a mentality that is? That before I get saved, I got to learn Hebrew and then got to learn not only how to read Hebrew, but how to interpret all of that and lay it all out and then come to know all of that and then apply all that in a Hebrew way. Amen. Nothing can be further and more damnable and full of apostasy than that. Amen. And I say all that with a high respect and regard for where our King James Bible, the Old Testament, came from. Amen. New Testament King James came from the Textus Receptus, the Greek Textus Receptus. Our Old Testament came from that ancient Masoretic text that we thank God that our King James Bible has been perfectly translated and preserved down to this generation. Don't write me on, amen, don't write me anywhere, no email, not on Messenger telling me how much you disagree with that. You don't have to know Hebrew to know God. You don't have to know Hebrew to know Jesus. You don't have to know Hebrew to know the way of salvation. Amen. You can pick up an old black King James Bible. It can be red, brown, white, or purple. I don't care. This King James, you can pick this book up and you can come to know who God is. But can I show you Jesus in the Hebrew? Yes, sir. Would y'all be interested to know that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look back in Genesis 1, verse 1. I'm going to get a little technical on you, but I hope it'll be a help to you. Here's how your King James Bible, the perfect Word of God, reads. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't mean to be so technical. Just, I hope this don't bore you. I hope it blesses you. If you can tonight, go home and try to find, and it probably wouldn't make much sense to some of you. I can sit down with you. Maybe we should have had it on the screen. But if you saw this verse as it was in Hebrew form, of course it would read backwards, but when it gets to the name God, between God, in fact, I've done this in my King James Bible. In the beginning, God, I put a little star or a little asterisk or something. I got a little symbol here to indicate something I want to point out between God and created. In the Hebrew, you know what you'll find between there? You don't see it in the English, but in the Hebrew, you know what you'll find? You'll find two Hebrew letters. Guess what they are? Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Tav, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the Jews tonight are going, show me Jesus. There he is. There he is. He showed you right there in your own tongue. He showed you right there in your own precious Hebrew language. In the beginning, God, Elohim, and then Aleph Tav created the heavens and the earth. Glory to God. The Alpha and the Omega. The Aleph and the Tav. The A and the Z. Amen. Whatever language you want to put in it. Amen. I'm glad that no wonder. You say, well, that's in the Hebrew. But listen, this is parallel to John 1:1. I just quoted a moment ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. John was given further revelation of what those Hebrews had missed and still missed. And this day, the Judaizers and those in the concision, they miss it. They read right over and they think they just go right on past it, and there he is all along from the very beginning, the first verse in the first chapter of the beloved Torah that they embraced, and there, my friend, tucked away, God was saying, there is Jesus in the very beginning. Verse number 4, y'all ready for this? And God saw thee. Now, what I did right there at the end of that thee, I put another one of them little symbols that I did between God and created. And God saw thee light. Guess what you'll find if you can read Hebrew tonight? Between the words thee and light, there are two letters in the Hebrew alphabet. You know what they are? They are the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav. The Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. You see in the book of Revelation when Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, sin, I'm the beginning of the alphabet. I'm the end of the alphabet. And what you have read over and over and over and over, that is me, I am he. Amen, I am he that you glossed over. But ain't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. That's what he said, I'm the light of the world. Amen, God said, And God saw thee light. That's exactly who Jesus said he was. Amen. Right there in the open. And yet, no wonder the Lord said of the Hebrew people that their eyes have been darkened, that they cannot see. God had it all there for them all along. So how do you know that? Because Jesus said in John 5, he said, go read what Moses said. Go read what Moses said. He said, Moses was testifying of me. Bobby, Jesus said to that crowd of law keepers, Jesus said to that crowd That was so hung up on, we have Abraham and we have Moses. He looked at him, he said, if you had Moses, if you believed anything that Moses had a rope, amen, all you got is rules and regulations. And I'm not against the law of God. That's not what we're preaching against tonight. And I will say this, amen, the Lord said, you got a relationship with a bunch of words on a page, that you have missed the word and you have missed the letters of all letters. Amen. Moses, when he wrote, he testified of me. Here's what he said in John 5. He said, everybody okay? Here's what he said in John chapter number 5. He said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd be believing me right now. Why? Because in the beginning, God, Aleph-Tav. And God saw thee, Aleph-Tav, light. Jesus is the light. Amen. Not just in the New Testament, all the way back in creation. He's the light of the world. And you can read John chapter number 1, and that is exactly what John the Beloved laid out and John the Baptist laid out, that Jesus was the light. Look with me one more. I got to give you one more. Zechariah chapter number 12. I don't know, Brother Mike, if this is helping us. I hope it is. I hope it's making sense. You say, preacher, I done told you, you ain't got to know Hebrew. I'm just throwing this out there and it's a blessing to my heart. In case there's any mistake about it, Zechariah 12 verse number 10. The Lord said, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall, I love this, look upon me. Who's talking? The Lord's talking. Jehovah's talking. Elohim's talking. Jaws doing some talking. Amen. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Amen. This is a promise of the Messiah, his return to the holy city of Jerusalem. God speaking said, they shall look upon me. And so who is speaking? We'll tell you exactly who's speaking there. Jesus Christ. He's the one pierced. Is that right, Jesse? He's the one that's pierced. Watch this. And they shall look upon me. Right after that me, Brother Joe, I put another one of them little asterisks to indicate a note out in the margin of my Bible between me and whom they have pierced. You know what you'll find right there in the Hebrew if you could read it? Right after me is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. And the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav. Amen. They shall look upon me, the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the A and the Z, the first letter and the last letter of every language and every tongue that I am going to redeem men and women and boys and girls from. Amen. They shall look upon me, Jesus, whom they have pierced. Amen. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the name Jesus. The name Jesus, or the representation and the way his name is communicated through letters that make up names and letters that make up words, and all of that is to communicate at Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the communication of the revelation of all that God has for mankind. I ain't got this out of a book. I ain't got this from no rabbi. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, where'd you get it from? I got it from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Psalm 111 then, and Psalm 112 then. It is not some poetical trick. It is by divine inspiration. So as God has said, let me show you who the Aleph and the Tav is. Let me show you the one who makes up every word that I have ever spoken. Let me tell you upon which word, the word of Jesus, hangs all of creation, being upheld by what? The word of his power. Who's holding all things together tonight? Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
The Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph, the Tau, the A and the Z.
Amen.
Amen. Don't give me this stuff. Don't give me this stuff. Well, it ain't in the Hebrew. It's right there if you'll open your eyes. I don't know that this is true. I haven't had time to confirm it. I don't even know that I want to, because I'm not, and y'all know me, I'm not real big on preaching about Hebrew and Greek and all that. Amen. I just want you to get the practical application of God's Word. I ain't interested in you knowing how smart I am or how smart I think I am. Amen. And so I don't get hung up in that. I don't get hung up in that a great deal. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It blesses my heart to know that I know the one who is the alphabet. He is the alphabet. Everything God has to reveal and communicate about the way to God and the way of salvation, it'll come by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the what? He's the living Word. Amen. Many years ago now, they come out with a Bible translation and they had the audacity to name it the Living Bible. Oh, that's about 1,900 years too late.
Amen.
It's already been a living Word. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm glad this evening there is, and we'll see it in the Psalm 111 on next week, and there is no distinction between a living Word and the written Word. The works that God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, and cannot be separated from His written Word. I'm glad tonight they're both faithful. I'm glad tonight they're both true. I'm glad we can take it to the bank this evening that we know who Jesus is. And so when David began, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. There is no, Brother Tim, mistake in who we praise tonight. There ain't no mistaking who we praise tonight. Who do we praise? Y'all ready? Jesus Christ. And every true, saved, born-again Jew in the Old Testament that praised the Lord praised Jesus Christ. Now they may not have known Him by that name, but they knew there was a Son of God who is going to be their Messiah. They knew to some degree that His blood must be shed to provide redemption, and that God did not delight in the blood of bulls and goats and sacrifices and offerings that they were bringing. David knew. You read David's prayer in Psalm 51. He was well aware of the fact that there was redemption and salvation and something that went beyond rules and regulations and offerings and laws and bringing of animals and blood of sacrifices, but that God had provided a better way. Listen, I ain't saying they had all the revelation we have. I'm glad I live in this dispensation of time. Amen. But don't you dare think for a moment, amen, they were looking. Amen. Anybody ever got saved? And Paul made this clear and plain in the book of Hebrews. All those things could never, did never, and could never, and will never take away sin. So if there's anybody saved in the Old Testament, it couldn't have come through law keeping and sacrifice making. Had to come through the only way of redemption, the promised seed given to the woman, the ram caught in the thicket in Abraham's day. Hallelujah. The offering of the firstlings of the flock of Abel. Hallelujah. The ark, and all it represents in the Lord Jesus Christ for Noah's escape from the judgment of God. The Passover lamb in the book of Exodus. On and on and on we could go tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, there was one that was going to come. Amen. One that was going to come. A Alpha, the Omega, the A to the Z. The A left to the top. Thank God, I'm glad that I know the Lord. I'm glad I know His Son, Jesus Christ. I ain't looking for another way. I ain't looking an A or another Redeemer. I'm not looking for another salvation. Amen. I'm glad that I know the One who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody said, well, that's what the Torah said. Amen. But I've done told you, Jesus is the living word. Amen. The Torah is part of the written word. My friend, the living word, amen, has come, has made the way. And if you don't put your trust in Jesus, you'll bust tail wide open. You'll die in your sin and go to a devil's hell. Spend a crisis eternity with no way of escape. But I'm glad I'm in the blood-washed crowd. I'm glad I'm in the crowd that my friend one day, amen, confessed with my mouth, amen, with my tongue, and bowed with my knee, amen, that He is Lord, He's Lord, He's Savior of the glory of God the Father. I didn't bow to Buddha. I didn't bow, listen, I didn't bow to Baal. I didn't bow down to Muhammad. Amen. Oh, no, it wasn't Allah that I bowed down to and confessed. It was Jesus Christ, a Son of the living God. I'm glad I know Him. Somebody ought to praise ye the Lord. No wonder we ought to say hallelujah. Amen. He's going to say in Psalm 111, who's He talking about? I believe He's talking about Jesus. He said, let me tell you about His works. All His works are great. He said, Brother Jack, let me tell you about His righteousness. It endures forever. He said, let me tell you about His work, singular. It is honorable. It is glorious. Hallelujah. He said, let me tell you about the One who's been putting meat down on your table. Amen. That's been feeding your hungry belly. Let me tell you about the One who's got the cupboards full. Let me tell you about the One putting milk in the fridge and eggs in the frying pan. Amen. Let me tell you about the One that brings redemption unto His people and has revealed and manifests His great power. Let me tell you about the One that took away the heritage of the heathen and put it down in your lap, and you're gaining ground in victories in battle that's so great you could have never won. The Lord Jesus Christ is the One who ought to be praised for what He's done. His praise, David said, endureth forever. When we get to heaven, somebody said, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Praise ye the Lord. You talk about a hallelujah time. Amen. Lord have mercy, it's late. Got to get y'all out of here. Amen. Well, the alphabet. Amen. I can't wait to get Psalm 112. Amen. I ain't even got started in 111 yet. Does that make sense? Amen. You ain't got to be no rabbi to understand what I preach to you tonight. Praise God. Amen. If you got any questions, be glad to answer them. But I ain't arguing with nobody. Amen. I heard a quote, and I'm going to make it a proverb to live my life by. I heard it just a couple weeks ago, and it said, don't take any criticism from somebody you won't take counsel from. Let that sink in. Don't take any criticism from somebody you won't take counsel from.
Amen. That's a pretty good proverb to live by. Amen. Hallelujah.